You're listening to Wanye's World, presented by Oodle Noodle.
New Wanye's World. We just had a conversation we could never share. We like to say the most...
And on this podcast, that's saying something.
Controversial shit right before going on air to get it out of our system.
Anyway, so we were talking about...
Yeah. So this one world government they're going to roll out with aliens. What the fuck? What episode are we at, Brett?
28.
20. Oh, shit.
Uh-oh, there goes one of the two
phones. Well, one of my 9 phones just fell between the... I guess we're going to have to focus on the podcast.
28, like Craig Muni.
Craig Muni.
Yeah.
See, I was going Patrick Thorson.
Sullivanov.
Look at you.
Sullivanov.
I think, yeah, you might be right there.
See, when we went
I
to
like how we just hit eras, though.
Yeah.
We're all from different eras, yeah.
And we're back in the one, and you're like, Thorson.
Yeah. Right, okay. When we were at the Moss Pit on Monday, when I walked past this guy with the Patrick Thorson jersey, and respect. I was curious if he also had one nut.
Or if he's Patrick Thorson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I am known for having some... They're not really rare, but they're a little bit out of left field jerseys.
How many other jerseys do you have?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 20.
Wow. Who's your most random?
It's up to you then. I've got like the Ethan Bear. I've got the Brandon Davidson. I've got the Andrew Ferentz, Captain C.
Whoa. Nice. But these are your friends, by and large. You're not getting these guys like at the Oilers store. Like Davey's like, here's a jersey, bro.
No, I went and bought them.
Did you really?
I bought every one of these. Yeah.
I love, like, obscure jerseys. They're my go-to. I have a Linus Omark one.
But do you buy them because it's going to be obscure?
Yes, 100%.
See, I have...
And that I do like the players.
I
like them to buy them.
I have this weird thing where it's like, no, this guy's going to be... Trust me.
A star?
Trust me.
Yeah.
So you're like a scout. You get your jersey and then the player appreciates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
never happened. Actually, it's happened. It's happening once as we speak. I think I was most likely the first one to buy the 73, and it would have been the very beginning. And we see where he is now. And I sat here at the beginning of the year, and we were talking about his contract, and Ty was saying, you know, like $900,000 for 1 year. Now he's talking like 2 or 3 years, closer to $2 million. So I mean, that's just where it's kind of going, right? So. Like I said, I've bought these jerseys before, and maybe I'll get a little uptick, but then they come crashing down.
We have a 73 De Harnais jersey in the Wanye Manor.
This is true. This is true.
It's for a 3-year-old,
yeah, but it's a little bit smaller. I like that.
He wears it around. He's very excited. He's a mini D fan. I respect it.
I need to get mine. Yeah, they're so expensive, but I want that has been my next one for like it's
Vinny D.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a big Vinny D guy. Me and him are like the big.
Yeah. The Oilers store having all those out of print jerseys though. There's some gems in there if you're in the game for obscure. I don't understand people who think getting a jersey of an Oiler who then leaves, you can't wear the player's jersey more. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Who cares? Get a Ty Ratty jersey and wear it till the end of time. He played for the team.
He'll end up on Oilers.
Are you saying if you buy it after he leaves?
Before, after, in the middle, if a guy gets traded, changes his number, you get one for $1.
Yeah.
All Oilers jerseys are good jerseys, is all I'm saying.
I am most likely one of the people that sort of kind of semi-retire the jersey when the player leaves.
Oh.
I think you're doing
it. I just won't. I just like... You kind of move on to the next year's jersey.
I wore my signed Ilya Bryzgalov Oilers jersey to game 6 against the Vegas Golden Knights last year.
So. That I also can't do is if once it's signed, it's a forever retired.
Yeah, it's not in a box. Most of my signed ones are in a box, but I have that one and a signed 64 Yakupov that I still have, but that one doesn't fit me too well anymore. So
I have a Yakupov 64. So I put a lot of thought in the playoffs
and 64. What a nickname that one was.
Oh yeah. What jersey I wear on game days. During the season, I'm not superstitious at all.
Mm.
But in the playoffs, always wear a jersey on game day, and I gotta think about what jersey I'm gonna wear.
What things are you thinking about?
Well, like I wore the black and white Connor last night to the game.
Right.
Prior to that point it was 5-0. So I was like, we need a win.
Mm-hmm.
We're the 5-0 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately we did not win. But like I have a Yakupov 6-4 with a huge roast beef stain from the sandwich. And when I got it, I was like, awesome. I'll never forget the sandwich. And whenever I look at the Yakupov in the closet, I'm like, look at the stain.
There was a great sandwich back at the Coliseum.
It was like as good as going out for dinner, but at the game. It was a prime rib roast beef sandwich.
From the stadium.
From Rexall.
Wow.
And it was unreal on the second level. And it was good, good time. So I got a big slop on the jersey in one of the last games at Rexall.
I'm going to have to go to a game probably next year early because I get there and there's no real eating involved when I get there. I want that Donaire hot dog.
I do too.
So it's a hot dog made of Donaires or it's on top of a hot dog?
I really don't remember. I remember Waz posted a picture and it said Donaire hot dog. Those are two of my favorite words. I was like, I need one.
I'm pretty sure it's like Donaire meat made into a hot dog.
So you can buy that. So I know Jay told me that once. He went to 107th. There's the Range Road Butchery, I think, is there. Hmm. You can get it there.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a game maybe November.
Yeah.
Like work people type thing.
Right.
And we were sitting in those like theater boxes. What's that?
Work people
type thing. Well, you know what I'm saying, right? Like for work. I wasn't there on my own steam. I was there as a guest. And those theater boxes, they have their own like restaurant that replenishes itself and it's free as part of the thing.
What?
Mm-hmm. So I come back to the box with like shrimp in my pockets. I'm like, did you know they're giving away food? They're like, have you ever been anywhere nice before in your life, you fucking weirdo? What a great deal though that is. Like the boxes, they're so expensive, man.
They're insane.
Like, you get a stick of gum and it's like 9G, whereas those boxes. Dude,
their orders of wings are like $30 or something. Oh. Like a Pete, they get. The prices for the food in the boxes is absolutely insane.
And then they bring them to you and then like they immediately congeal under the heat lamp. Mm-hmm. Whereas this in the end zone theater boxes that they had, they put out new food every intermission. You just shovel it all into your purse. Let's
go. Yeah. The Sportsnet Lounge?
No, it's like above it. So there's maybe, I don't know, like however many there are, but they're boxes, but they don't have like their own doors. They have like a common area in behind and there's a bar and then there's a buffet in the buffet.
That's like the 99 Lounge or something like that, isn't it? The Gretzky Lounge?
No, that's like the one that's open to the public.
Oh, there's a different one then. I've never been to this one.
For these like if there's 10 boxes in the end and they have like curtain walls between them, not like hard walls.
Yeah, yeah.
In behind is a little lounge.
Oh, because I'd definitely been through the curtains more than once.
Of course you
we
have.
We just walk. We just kind of walk.
You act, and you've been there and you act as if I do not. And I'm like, you can take as many rolls as you want. Unbelievable news, given my love of bread. The prices though, my God in heaven, I felt like yesterday I went to the game. One beer was $18. What the fuck?
It's insane.
So $18. So they've upped the price then. It's also probably at least a 20 ounce, if not like a 22. So it's a little bit bigger than what you're buying at a bar and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I know for us, we always put the sleeves on special now. We put the smaller size, the smaller price point. That's what we emphasize.
Oh, interesting. So it looks like it's 2006 prices, but the drinks are all shot glasses?
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting. I remember last year they upped it too from the regular season to playoffs.
Because you saw the dude in Toronto, right? The Blue Jays game? I dislike the person. I stopped following all bar down. Because, anyways, he was talking about prices there. It's like a beer and a hot dog there is like $33.
Since one time I went to the Justin Timberlake Sexy Back tour in Toronto. Thank you. Walked in and like this is back when pricing at Rexall's on the sign outside, right? So yep. Like $7 for a beer. I'm like, holy fuck. I go to the Justin Timberlake concert. There isn't a soul getting booze because it's all little kids. It was before JT got to the older fans. And I remember they're like, that'll be $16. And I was like, no, I got one beer. And the guy just looked at me. He's like, yeah, $16. I thought I was going to puke on the ground.
Do not go to any of the arenas in the U.S.
But that was different. Like, those were back in the day.
Yeah, like you go to, yeah.
Four type shit, right?
Every time we've gone now, we've done the nation trips to here, there, and everywhere. It's insane. You're looking at $20 for your tall boy can or whatever. And that's USD.
Yeah.
So when I come back home and people are bitching about it, I'm like, hey, honestly, guys, we like for one, it's the new arena and the whatever you do with that. But that's what you're paying in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than the U.S.
That's why Bradley Beal makes $256 million over 5 years because beers are $46.
I went to an LAFC playoff game. They were playing Austin FC. And I went by myself. I went down on a family trip and my mom wasn't going to go. My grandmother's frail and my aunt had to take care of the two of them. So it was just me. And we bought one ticket and I went there and I got two tall boy cans of Trulies. Trulies? Yeah, I believe they were Trulies. Again, like $18. I had about six of them. It was fantastic. But you have to commit. If you're going to a sporting event, you have to commit that it's a night out and that you're going to be spending that money.
My buddy went to a Dodgers game last year, the year before, had two Micheladas, so two beers and two clams or whatever, and it was almost $50.
Yeah,
and we're talking like $23 for the beer and then like $6 for the cans, and so it was like it was over $50.
Now the Dodgers have Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. They have to pay
the. Why didn't you mention the $300 million guy who's not playing very well?
Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah, I was going to mention him too. Yeah, but now they have to pay. Like Dodger dogs are massive, like really expensive.
Get the deflation thing where the dog is, used to be the old 9-inch, now it's like a 6.5.
Yeah, they used to sell them at Universal Studios. They just had Dodger dogs kiosks anywhere you went.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, it was cool. Which is probably why I'm a Dodgers fan.
I think one thing the Oilers are doing really well in opening up the Moss Pit is introducing an Oilers experience at a lower price point, right? Because you've got the building. I think it was sold out last night.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got an additional overflow now in the Moss Pit of how many people? 8,000 people? 10,000 people?
Something like that.
At free entry.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can get booze. Mm-hmm. The booze is still sky high.
Yes, it's the exact same price
as indoors.
Yeah,
we got them.
I would like to see what they do, and I know obviously I'm fairly certain it's a third party company that does the booze and the food sales inside the arena. So it is what it is. But I would like to know what they do for sales, and if you dropped price points, would your volume go up and therefore make you more money? That's where I'd like
to know. But is it more annoying to have drunker people there too, right? That's always
well, you know what? You don't even have to do the booze. I don't even, you know what? The booze is the booze is the booze. I don't care. But like $9 for a pop or something stupid, like that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why not drop the popcorn, find a way to do, $4 hot dog and a $4 burger. Like this is still Edmonton, right? You don't need a Wagyu burger. Not that they're serving that or anything like that.
The thing is fucked up is that there are no real like Wagyu burgers at the games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you're going to charge that, you got to be the quality. A small
concession dog is $47.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're making a mint down there.
But like then the operating costs of that place are enormous, right? Like these guys, I would love to see the P&L of the Oilers.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you for 2020, 2021, 2022, they weren't probably making much money. Right, they're probably
during the COVID
when everything was locked up. Mr. Cates and the city are still paying for the arena.
Oh yeah,
right. They'd have been burning cash.
I'd also just like, from my work perspective, I'd like to get in there and
see. As you have drink stations in there, how's that work?
Oh, they probably just have some. First of all, I'd say if they're in there like that, they're probably spending tens of thousands. I know they're spending tens of thousands of dollars a year then. Just for that.
To have the station.
Yeah. And then you'll have some sort of partnership. They can obviously say Edmonton Oilers. That is, you're not allowed to. You know dang well that you're not allowed to say that.
There was a guy, so the big stair or escalator that you go up to,
yeah.
There was a guy running the shot station, and all he had was Jaeger. I think that was it. He's just like, Jaeger bombs. I was like, holy fuck, this is unbelievable. And he was right beside the giant lineup to go up the I think he had rum too. It was like a shot.
On
the, so Fireball. It was Fireball and Jaeger bombs. Those are the two drinks at his station.
Ground floor or top?
Ground floor.
The ground floor, really.
It was just like a rolling kiosk. They said that was one guy.
Oh, I saw that Jaeger guy. Yeah. Bombs, I saw that dude. I didn't know what he was selling, but he's just walking through the concourse, like pushing his little cart here. I'm like, all right, I got this guy.
Like, are people going to buy that? These two guys walked up like, two Jaeger bombs, please. And it's like $9,000 down the hatch.
It's funny because when we were in Winnipeg for the outdoor game, however long ago that was, 2015 or 16 or whatever the hell it was, the game was delayed, right? So then on the concourse, everybody's out there. So there's one guy walking around and he's got the whole tub. And I thought it was like, I thought he was selling.
Yeah.
So we're standing around and Wanye and Jay are talking to him because they know him. And so we're like, oh, yeah, so I thought like this dude bought the whole damn tub.
Oh my
God. And he just had the guy walking around with him.
No way.
So I just grabbed him. I was like, yeah, I'll have one of these. Thank you.
Yeah. And just to watch everybody be like, I want one. He's like, ha ha, you can't have them. Only I can have a beer vendor. And I'm like, okay, I guess so. Sure. I thought the last night, like, I do not look playoff games in the mouth, if that makes sense. Or in, mm-hmm. if first of all, yeah. Like, I don't take them for granted.
Yep.
Because you never fucking know. You might think we're going to be here every fucking year, and then 12 years go by. Like, you never, ever know. We think we're going to win. We're going to go to the cup final. You never know. There might be one playoff game more in Edmonton this year. You don't know.
That's true.
Having said that, I thought the game was very low energy. I thought the fans were low energy. The team was low energy.
Yeah, he's referring to the people in the building.
And also the team.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. But, yeah, like, the crowd is supposed to be known for.
Yeah. And like, all the Avengers were there. Banjo guy was in full regalia. Stanley Cup foil lady was out.
Yeah. Kate, is she not sitting in Joey's seat? Because I don't like that.
No, because she's right against the bench, isn't she?
That's right where Joey was.
Yeah, but wasn't Joey one row back? When you see
Joey was right behind the bench and the last on the left.
Yeah, he was
so like in the corner of the bench and the hall.
What, you want the seat to be empty forever?
Sort of.
No. Yeah. Joey wouldn't want that. He wants someone sitting in the seat dressed in Stanley Cup foil, living the dream.
Singing the bomb.
You know what? He's in the scoreboard at the end of the national anthem.
Oh.
Chef's fucking kiss.
I think I would have taken the chair and removed it and done something with it.
The actual chair and then always have an empty seat?
An empty spot, yeah.
Rick, do you know what the incremental cost of no seat revenue in that chair over the next 70 years of...
Put an extra nickel on everyone else's ticket then.
How dare you, sir? The ticket prices are high enough. No, I know what you're saying. I love that, though, that he's got the plaque in the dressing room.
Yep.
That's sick. Being mentioned on the scoreboard and the national anthem. I assume they're going to keep it like that for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
That's very well done, Oilers.
No, I know. They're 95% of the time really good at that stuff.
I'm sure they're really good at honoring the 80s Oilers, and fair enough, they're the greatest.
What the hell were we supposed to
hit? Understood, right? Like, in my kitchen, I have a 1983 commemorative edition stick. I bought at the game myself for $85, and it's a wood stick, unautographed, and I'm like, that's stupid, but I bought it because they're the greatest team of all time. Having said that, I don't think we honor the 90s Oilers. I don't think we honor the aughts. Well, Doug Weight, Bill Guerin, right? They were back recently. That was nice to see those guys. They deserve it.
But you can't bring them back as often because they're both employed in the league with other teams and stuff.
True.
Although Mark Messier came back and played the outdoor game one as he was playing with the Rangers. Austin
came as a contracted member of the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, what was that conversation?
That video's
like?
Pushing 1.6 million views on the internet.
So he wore it for like 2 minutes and then he had it like draped on himself the rest of the time.
You saw him, right? You got to talk to him and shit. Yep. What was the deal with that?
What, coming to town?
Yeah, coming to town,
hang out with the boys.
Wearing his jersey.
Coming to hang out with his buddies.
Cool.
Yeah, then they gave him his Hind jersey.
Who gave it to him?
His buddy Mo.
That's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, he put it on and had it on for a couple of minutes and then had it draped on himself for the rest of the time. And always very respectful of the jersey. Every time you see him, like, he's holding it.
Yeah,
he folds it nice and then folds it over his arm. And
yeah, it's a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how Oilers Nation got that to post on Instagram.
No idea.
But that did numberinos, that post.
Yeah. I would like to, like, what are the rest of them doing? Because they put him on the scoreboard then.
And they looked like sheepish to be on the scoreboard.
He didn't know.
But like, you're wearing your own
he didn't know
his, you're you.
They caught him off guard. He had no idea. Like, literally, I had to go down the stairs and yell at him to look up.
Really?
Yeah. They had no idea. His buddy is the one who took care of that, did that, I think. And they went on there and they were chatting or something.
His buddy
like
that. Did that to him?
Yeah.
Man, he's a contract member of the San Jose Sharks. Yeah. You shouldn't do that to the guy.
We're allowed to go to the game.
Yeah, but like in the other team's jersey.
He wasn't wearing the jersey then.
What do you mean?
He wasn't wearing the jersey when he's on the board.
His old John.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, still.
The old Carlton sweater.
Did you see
the
how I said that thing, that the Fear the Fin guys were like, this guy shouldn't be a Shark.
They were mad,
It said, he doesn't bleed teal. And I said, nobody bleeds teal.
Yeah.
Come on.
He doesn't fear the Fin.
And Logan Couture doesn't even bleed teal. He saw his blood on the ice in game whatever.
Only reason Joe Thornton's still kicking around because he likes the beach and doesn't like to wear shoes anywhere. And it hurts to walk on the pavement and no shoes.
Yeah, even Patrick Marleau left, boys.
Yeah, you got the hell out of there.
Evgeny Nabokov left, too. Like, let's read the room.
So, like, then who in the long run has the best teams? Is it markets that have that, like, California lifestyle? Or can, like, cold places aspire to having a culture people would want to come play in? Like, look at Utah. You could make a strong case Utah's the most boring market to play in, but they treat the big league treatment of players and shit.
Well, this just started, though. We don't know how that's going to be.
in the NBA, which has got to be very hard to attract NBA players to Utah.
But it's basketball in the U.S., and I think that's like doing talking about hockey in Canada. They're different.
And baseball, too.
They're different times. It's different, though. There's different times of the year. Like, basketball kind of goes against hockey's timeline. Yeah. Football and baseball are more attached, although baseball feels like it's 3 years long inside of one, or 3 seasons long inside of 1 year, whatever. I just feel like basketball in the U.S., you don't really have to push too much. Just like you bring an NHL franchise in Canada, you plop it down, open the doors, get the hell out of the way, and it'll fill itself for the most part.
What about Winnipeg?
No airport.
Yeah. Issues. And they lost their chicken finger joint. Mitzi's is gone.
Mitzi's is shut, yeah. Yeah. It's a half their economy.
Yeah, it's tough.
Mitzi's. Chicken fingers and chicken finger accessories.
It was so good.
Do you guys like Winnipeg?
I love Winnipeg.
Really?
My sister lives out there.
Oh.
It's just like Edmonton.
Yeah.
I've had so many good times in Winnipeg.
It's like Winnipeg. It's like Edmonton from the 90s.
It genuinely.
Without like our newer buildings and stuff. It looked like... Yeah. It looked like 104 Stony Plain Road between like 149 and 170 or so. Everything is like no more than 20 feet tall buildings, and it's just everything looks a little closed. Bit older. Yeah, yeah. It reminded me of growing up in the 80s.
But there's sweet stuff in Winnipeg. Like there's this restaurant called Ray and Jerry's, and it looks like it's from the Vegas Strip in 1960.
Yeah.
Whoa. And they've kept it immaculate. Like, cool. It's all crushed velvet and big booths. It's a steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I went there, and when you're sitting in there, you're like, oh, I don't know any other place I could have something like this happen. Like, this is just, there's some stuff Winnipeg has that Winnipeg people enjoy that is really, really good. But if you're, like, driving around town looking for beautiful cul-de-sacs and shit, you're going to hate it there. But that's a lot like Edmonton.
I think now we're changing, whether it's because of the youth. I think it's like a youth movement that's changing it. The older folk would like to keep the stuff from back in the day, but it's like you got to upgrade. You got to update things now.
When I went there, it was I've only been there for combined like maybe 15 hours, but it was you're talking about like really beautiful places. We went to I was going to call it the harbor, but I guess it's not really the harbor. It's where the lake is, or the river that runs through Manitoba. And
the forks,
that's what I'm looking for, the forks. Yeah. And inside they have like this market that has a whole bunch of cool local food places, and they got bars and on tap places. It was one of the coolest things to see in the middle of Manitoba. And my buddies and I, when I went there, we were going down to Minnesota for the trip. That was like our big thing. We were flying out to Winnipeg because we have a friend who lived over there, and we would drive down to Minnesota. And even just driving through Winnipeg down into Minnesota and into from their non-existent airport, it felt like Edmonton. Like, it felt like Alberta. It felt like it was one of the weirdest feeling. And then all of a sudden you're in North Dakota. You're like, what the hell?
And it gets way worse as you cross the border.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When I drove through North Dakota, I was like, holy shit. It's like super Saskatchewan sketch.
Yes.
Really?
Like, it looks like Saskatchewan, but it isn't Saskatchewan. Yeah. When you stop in a small town, their industries include little tiny casinos in the gas stations.
What?
In North Dakota, that? I think, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I drove once from Dallas to Edmonton. Oh. And I went through, like, the whole breadbasket, like, the Midwest and shit. And, like, every town was just, like, a dollar family, a gas station, a tiny little casino, and a raging meth addiction. Like, there was nothing. I couldn't believe it. Like, it's not like that up here.
Yeah. No, we, when we went through I forget which state it was specifically, but we stopped in this small little town. We needed gas. It was like all the road signs along the way said or indicated that this town was just off the highway or whatever it is, right? So we pull off, we're trying to get to this little town, and it was not just off the highway. It was like a good 10, 15, 20 minutes off the highway. And we get into this area, and obviously you're in that like Great Lakes area, so there's lakes all over the place there. And we pull into this little town, and it was tiny. You could see from one end of the city to the other from the gas station. It was insane. And it was dead. Like, it was a ghost town. And we pull up to the gas station, and no one's at the gas station. It had literally just closed, but the pumps were still open, so my buddy was able to pump some gas. And there's four of us, and my buddy's sitting in the back, and he gets out. He wants to stretch his legs, and he sees this bike that had, like, no handlebars at all on it. So he walks up to the bike that has no handlebars and, like, starts, like, tinkering with it, playing with it. And the dad, I guess, of the kid whose bike it was, like, comes around the corner. And as he's coming around the corner is when my buddy, like, naturally just stopped worrying about the bike. And he walked off, and he goes into the back alley. And so I'm like, these guys are going to get killed, man. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I decide to start following them, too, into this back alley. And all I see is this, like, red, like, the nicest car in this city just sitting there with some, like, dude talking to a guy outside of his car. And they, like, see me, and they're just, like, tracking me, following me with their eyes and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God. God,
you don't live here.
Yeah,
there's 24 know. People that live here, and I know every single one of them, and you ain't one of them.
Yeah, that guy has Nikes on. What the fuck? And I'm like, okay, I need to get out of this area. So I went back to the main street, and all I see is my buddies, like, dip into this little, like, corner store. So I follow them in, and everybody in there are the nicest people I've ever met. They're like, oh, laughing, you need that, oh, balanced breakfast, whatever. I got a whole bunch of Nutter Butters. And finally, we get back to the car. We stranded our buddy who was pumping gas, which probably in hindsight wasn't the best idea.
You left him?
We had no service. And we text him. We're down the street. I text him.
Well, I guess we'll just leave him behind then. We've got a schedule to keep.
He'll fill up with gas. It's going to take him 30 seconds to drive through the whole city and find us.
Oh, exactly. He had the car, though.
He was at
the car. Oh, okay. Yeah. So when you just leave a guy at the gas station, you get timed.
Like, sorry, we're in the car. You weren't here, buddy. Man, I told you.
I don't know.
We said 107 back in the car. You're not here. It was 108. Now we're out.
Yeah. He was just, like, sitting on the hood, just, like, waiting for us. And
it's a small town thing.
Yeah, exactly. We fit in all of a sudden.
Like chewing tobacco.
So we have our stuff that we had and we bought, and we go to leave. And as we're pulling out, here comes that car that I saw in the back alley now, kind of tailing a little bit, seeing who we are, I guess, thinking. So we're like freaking out. And we drive off. We head back to the highway that we were on. And then as we got to, like, the breakaway between, like, coming into the city and going right into the highway and left into some other buttfuck town, they turn left after we turned right, and we're like, oh, thank God. And we were gone. But it was one of the weirdest small town feelings ever. It was strange.
That's fucked. Have you ever been tailed? Have you ever had anyone tail you?
Not outside of a police car.
No?
Whoa.
No. What?
Well, I think there was one time, I don't think I hadn't registered the car yet. Or, like, it passed it, and then he's behind me, and you're like, and he's, like, running my shit through, and the lights come on. Like, oh, all right.
Aww.
But, yeah, outside of that, I don't think anyone's ever, I don't think anyone chased me anywhere.
Yeah, that's cool. You lived a good life.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. One time. It's a weird story. I was maybe 21.
Yeah.
I'm driving my Civic, so I'm not driving anything flashy or anything like that. And I'm, like, living my life, I'm on the white mud, and I look behind and I saw a car. Of course, there's a car behind you, right? And I can't remember what I was doing, but 10 minutes later, I look and the same car is behind.
So, this is not like a rage, road rage incident that the dudes follow you and give you the finger and all. No, so he's just.
So, I'm like, oh, that same car is there. But again, like, I don't
big
know.
Brother.
I'm in the south side. Yeah. And then I went to go do whatever it was that I was doing, and I looked and the same car was there. And it was just like this minivan. And I was like, well, that's really funny. Weird, like, why is, like, a maroon always behind me? So I went to do my business or whatever, and I pulled out, and this fucking minivan is,
you went in somewhere, great. Yeah, you got in, you stopped, yep. Park, I went in a building, came out, bang, and he's still there
and so now I'm like, well, Did I like cut this guy off? Does this person know me from life and we have some sort of beef? I'm heavy in these streets, so you know I've got beef.
Got to go through his Rolodex here.
Like, well, there's no cell phones really in those days.
No maroon vans. I don't know what that was going on.
Call it in, right? So I was like, okay, this guy's fucking following me. It's time to take evasive action. So by this point, I was over by like...
There's two options there. You can run or stop and get out.
Yeah. Well, but I'm little in this.
Yeah, story. That's what I mean.
You have, also...
Those are your two options, though.
Freakily, don't know... I can't really see who's driving.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I don't know, the reflection of the day or whatever. Yeah, like, this is in like 3-4 in the afternoon. It was really bizarre. So I'm over by the Space Science Center now, and I'm driving down the road, and this guy's behind me. And I was like, I cannot, like, I couldn't fathom why this person was on my bumper. But at this point, it'd been like 25 minutes, man.
Yeah.
So I just ducked into a residential area where they kind of, you know, the alleys that are right on the main roads, and they have all those little wood posts.
Yep.
So I just ducked into that, pulled into someone's driveway, parked in their driveway, and just leaned my seat back. And this guy drove right past where I was on the back alley. Yeah, man. And so I waited until he was like further down the alley, and then I just turned like left back in the alley, and I just booked it out of there. And to this day, I have no idea why that guy followed me around for like half an hour around
town. What? You think it was the gangsta lean that he didn't see?
But that's the thing, though. I was in the Civic. Like, I wasn't.
How you put the lean on his seat, though. They,
yeah. Well,
a little bit. A little bit. But I don't know. Yeah, it was
that's a very crazy.
Strange thing. But at the end of the day, I was like, came home, and I was like, somebody just followed me around for like half an hour. I remember my parents were like, what the fuck? How come?
Early 2000s was a weird time.
But I knew how to evade, because in my head, I'm Jason Bourne. I'm like, I'll just pull the driveway maneuver. So I pulled in, let the guy drive by, went the other way. Smell you later.
I'm so intrigued, because that seems so like, first of all, I'm a big true crime person, so I'm trying to find the patterns here. That seems very like intentional, first of all, but it seems like they have done it before.
Yeah, like they weren't there. Like, I think if you were a pro, like if this was like a law enforcement thing, they would have known how to have like. I would never. Yeah,
you gotta stay a couple cars back.
Exactly.
You gotta stay
exactly.
Jason Bourne shit. I watch those shows.
Exactly.
Jason Bourne shit. But like, I didn't get a chance to get his license plate. I didn't go to the police about it. I didn't do anything.
I'm gonna start looking at old crimes in the early 2000s that involved.
And it's funny. This wasn't like Wanye wasn't even born yet. He was still going by his government name and stuff, right? So when
I was bar guy.
Were you okay? I was gonna say when there was at the beginning there for a while there, Wanye was a sought after individual.
I don't know about that, but there was a time. So back when we had our bar, there was no bar watch. Right? You don't really go outside of the pint, do you? Or maybe you did when you were littler.
Oh yeah, when I was younger for sure. Yeah. Now yeah, well you know Joey and local and stuff that, but.
I can remember because we had so many fights and we were always doing crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember talking to my doorman who we brought in these two doormen to help clean up how fucked up it was. Yeah. But you didn't know who anyone was. Like, that was the problem. Like, people would just show up with ID.
Yeah.
It was on you to know if they were murderers, Hell's Angels, wanted, if they just shot a guy. You just were like, okay, welcome aboard. I hope you have $5 for a drink.
Like, if someone else hasn't banned you, they have no put anything on your ID. We're not going to know.
We wouldn't know, though.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, even with the system, if they keep their nose clean in a bar and you can shoot, you can literally just shoot somebody down the street and then come on in.
But the culture now, I think, like when you go to Joey's, I've been in Joey's and the police have been called on customers and they just come and like quietly escort them out the back and shit.
Cactus.
What did I say?
Joey. But I mean, no, that happens both. Yeah, okay. But Cactus was definitely known for that.
Yes.
Seven, eight years ago, for sure.
They don't do it anymore?
It's less and less just because those people have to go find different places to go now.
See, they would, back in the day, they would come to our bar.
Yeah, because you weren't on Jasper. We weren't on White.
Good. We weren't part of a syndicate of successful places. We had no successful friends. We were just like...
You were just a one-off
in an area. We were the star of Stony Plain Road.
Yeah.
We thought we'd make it gentrified. It went the other way. And we were like, it got crappier now because we were here, right?
Now it's just a nice patch of grass.
So my doorman one day comes up to me and he's like, well, where are you going right now? I'm like, going to White Ave, doing promo. That's what my favorite part of owning a bar was when I was little, was just going to do promo, which was just basically me and Jay going around town hammered, demanding people come visit us, knowing they wouldn't. Yeah. Like, well, we did all we could do. We went to every bar in town and mysteriously ours is not busy. But the doorman guy was like, do you think it's a good idea for you to go around White Ave and stuff like that and just kind of like, I don't know,
aren't you worried that the people we throw out of here are going to see you and catch you slipping in the streets, basically? And I was like, you don't think. And he's like, well, yeah, man. Like, you got to be careful when you go out. And I was like, huh. So I used to bring one with me. That's so I go out with a guy. And then they were like, oh, make your move, right? So I don't know. Like, this was the kind of era it was when I got tailed. So I don't know. I didn't. You never know who's mad at you, man. Like, that's when you get paranoid. Is
Things were tough back then. Like, yep. I remember, like, Barry T's was a... You'd come out that side door, and there it would be, like, an eight-on-eight brawl.
Yep.
Like, eight dudes and eight security guys. And then one would go inside, and he'd come back out, and he'd look like... What was the Ninja Turtle guy, but the human, Casey Jones?
Oh,
he'd come out with, like, a couple goalie sticks, a baseball bat. He's handing to all his boys, and now they got the upper hand, right? And you're just sitting in your eating your hot dog, which was... Great hot dogs, by the way.
Yes.
And you're just eating your hot dog and watching this go down. You're like, all right, here we go.
I was friends with the Cowboys doorman.
Yeah.
And like they would hang out on Saturday afternoons and go have lunch and shit like that. And they'd let me tag along sometimes. Sometimes I wasn't like missing doorman, don't get me wrong, but I knew a couple of them. And just like listening to their stories, like they'd be like, oh, you know, 20-on-20 brawl in the parking lot last night. Everybody gets the call on the headphones. All the bouncers leave the bar, just beat the hell out of people, and then go back in. You know, like, and the night continues.
Like nothing.
Like nothing. Yeah. And like in those days, the police were never called.
Rarely.
Nothing. Like it was like, we're going to handle this ourselves. And like
when it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
Sometimes it lingered and, you know, they came back next time or whatever. But it was essentially when it's done, it's done.
But then people would like wait in the parking lot to like sucker those guys after
work
and shit. Right. And like, that's why I think I felt a little bit more like uneasy in those days moving around, is just that like there were lots of sketchy fucking people in those days, man. And like, you didn't run the risk of getting arrested if you beat up bar staff. It would just be considered a bar thing.
Yeah, it was it legit was just like hockey.
And these guys like had buddies at Nashville's that were dormant.
Yeah. Right?
And they'd just be like, oh yeah, like there was a lineup last night. We just beat the shit out of 10 people in front of 400 people. People just waiting to get in.
Just like a little union. That's right. They just go and they have their own church. Yeah, and they sit there and they chat. And it's like these guys from here and these guys from there and they're there.
And
they
all come pre-UFC. Right. So there wasn't a culture of MMA, and yet these guys were shredded and like killers. I can remember the one guy I do at Cowboys, he would bring dried chicken to work and he had it in his fanny pack and he'd just always be eating dried chicken because he was that committed to fitness. I can't remember his
name. Oh, because there were a couple guys that were wrestlers.
I think this guy was just like a super fitness dude, like to beat people up.
What the hell is dried chicken?
He just brought like just jerky like, chicken.
Just like gross chicken and there's like a bag of it and just like just eating chicken.
Ew.
Protein, baby.
All night long though. And he was just like,
yeah.
You wouldn't find a guy like that now really in the industry because there isn't a need for like mangler murder or like.
I've got a couple of guys that are like, you do not want. I mean, we have probably one. I've lost a couple to the jails and stuff, but I have one guy who that's his day job.
You've had guys go be prison guards?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I got like I said, I have at least one who does both.
So, but
and he's a gigantic monster. Like you don't like he hasn't had to do anything. Obviously, we can't. But you don't want like this guy. And
a visual deterrent,
bro. He's eating 5,000 calories a day, no problem. He comes in. He said he buys. Oh fuck, what we were talking about his food the other day. He buys $100 worth of steak like every couple days.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. That means he's sneaking phones into jails. How are you gonna have that kind of steak budget? You gotta be selling cell phones.
No, he does all sorts of weird shit. He's selling shit. He's got like in the crypto and
really,
yeah. He's cool cars and shit. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Interesting. So you like back in the day never worried when you went around town that like any pint beef, how many people you've tussled with over the years? You're just like
never bothered me. It's never even popped in my head. I would not recognize a single person, but all my security guys that can tell you exactly what happened. See, on October 17th,
military organization working with you for 15 years. That's what's going on, right?
These guys remember everything. They're like, look at that guy, he fought in the bar October 12th of, you know, 2017. This is what happened.
Yikes.
I'll be like, dude, I forgot there was an October 12th in 2017.
One time I was at the pint and I don't know what I was doing and I almost got into a fight with some guy and the team came over, picked this guy up like a carpet, rolled him up and like carried him out of the bar on their shoulders. I was like, you're so safe in the pint. Like, nothing's going to happen to you in the pint. There's a team of killers here.
Yeah, I've only been kicked out of one bar.
Ooh, pint?
One, yeah, it was a pint.
Was it? Downtown?
Yeah, downtown.
What'd you do? Yeah.
I did, well, technically I wasn't the one thrown out, but it may have been me who quote unquote started it. I didn't, nothing happened, obviously, but we were there for somebody's birthday, and we were standing at the back bar there, mm-hmm. or not even the main bar, but just by
the front door,
the dance. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But we were on the other side at, by the dance floor.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, a couple people were in our party were standing at the bar, and I was standing in just like in the back just of the group, right? And obviously pint's packed, so people are walking by, whatever. And this guy comes behind me, and he just shoves me out of the way. Just shoves me. Of course. And I'm obviously a bigger dude, so in small places like that, I'm going to take up more space. I understand, like, a little bit of contact. It is what it is. I always try my hardest just to be like, oh, I'm sorry.
There's definite excess, so you can feel when it's excessive.
100%.
It's usually like a girl who's like 4'9".
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, they come through like they're running back.
Yeah, they're like, ferocious.
What are you doing?
Yeah. But I feel it, and I turn around, and I remember looking back, and this guy's just like staring at me. I'm like, what the fuck do you want, man? Like, what are you doing? And he starts saying something to me, and then I was like, what the fuck are you gonna do? And then my best friend is talking to his best friend at the time. Like, now our best friends are going, like, kind of.
We got a crew fight here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I don't know, but I guess it's less than now. I got you.
They're just jawing back and forth. And then out of nowhere, like, nothing had happened. Nothing even, like, there was no even, like, move to see, like, something, if something was going to happen. Next thing I know, they're grabbing my buddy and his buddy, and they're taking them out. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I have to go now to coat check and grab my coat and then meet up with them afterwards. And so
that's a 17-minute walk when it's busy in there.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I finally get outside, and I see my buddy's, like, trying to negotiate with one of the bouncers. Yeah. And the other two guys, or the two guys, my buddy and his buddy, were like talking and stuff. And I came out, and apparently they asked her, like, why are we getting kicked out? And somebody said it was because we were fighting. And the two guys who were jawing at each other, they turned to each other and they're like, we were fighting? And, like, all of a sudden became good buddies and started laughing with each other. And then I was the last one out of there. And really, I was, I guess, technically instigator. I don't think I instigated anything. But the other guy who did push me was also a dick and, like, outside. He was making, not really a scene, but like trying to really insert or assert his dominance. But
I hate the outside people.
Yeah.
I remember, so when we first started doing the first bar that we did, I was 19, and my buddy that managed Cowboys was like very worried about our safety.
Yeah.
Because our bar was on 156th Street and 111th Avenue.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I think I've told the story before, but I was like on the dance floor at Cowboys, like living my life. And he came up to me on the dance floor. I was like, did you just buy that bar? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh boy. Like, you need to come talk to me when there's like a sun in the sky, like not at nighttime. And so I remember I went in like off hours at Cowboys, and he was like, okay, do you have any worries about your safety at work? And I remember just, I'm in university.
Like, of course not. It's a bar, old. Man. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I don't know if you heard, but I just bought a bar. So I'm pretty fucking rich, obviously. And, you know, so I wasn't, right? Obviously. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to have the head guy come have lunch with you a few times just to kind of give you the lay of the land. Because I remember him. He's like, you don't quite understand what it is you're undertaking.
There's definitely, right? A lot more fights back then.
Yeah. And this guy Blair, I don't know if you remember that guy, but he was,
yeah, like, I think so,
a cowboy hat, really nice guy,
right? Yeah.
And so I remember, like, Blair coming down into the bar, and I'm the day bartender in my bar, right? And he's like, hey, and I bought him lunch or whatever, and he was just like, okay, So I was just going to like walk you through a few things just about like how to keep a room secure and what you look for trouble and what you need to be thinking about. And it was unbelievable, man. He just like laid it out for me. I guess like they would for a Cowboys bouncer.
Yep.
Right. But it was kind of the pub version of it. Right. Yep. She's like, you're going to want to be doing bathroom sweeps. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. And then he's just like, you know, I'll never forget. He's like, when a fight breaks out. And I was like, oh, tut, tut. There's fisticuffs in my establishment. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
He's like, just try to get everybody outside.
Yeah.
Just get everybody outside. Just what you don't want, because there are going to be problems, is the people over in the corner having their birthday ruined because. And, like, if you could fast forward 6 months as people are brawling in there and, like, throwing schooners at each other and, like, just, I'm like, oh, none of the. But then the outside training of what you do when you get people outside, and you always want to be able to lock the door behind you and, like, kind of, now I'm on the outside, now you're on the outside, and now I'm going to have to handle my business. And I remember him just, like, teaching me basic. If there's two groups of people and they are yelling at each other, the guys who are going to fight are never the loud guys. You have to watch the guys in the background that look the maddest, that aren't saying a word.
Some weird sucker punch that starts it all.
Because they'll come around the thing, or they'll just run into the middle. Yeah. And he's like, the loud guys never fight. And so over time, as you have, like, we had to have fights every single weekend. Mm-hmm. Every single weekend.
Wow.
And you go outside and you see the patterns as to what's going on. And like, your big advantage is that generally as the manager or the server, you're sober.
Mm-hmm.
And most people you're fighting with in those days, to a man, are hammered.
Yep.
Right? So they're falling over each other.
Drinks are really cheap back in the day.
Yeah. They're sucker punching each other and shit like that. And I'll just never forget, like, maybe it was just having my eyes opened to that degree, because I didn't even really drink at the time. Like, I was a kid, right? Yeah. And then they're just like, if people are going to stab you, and I'm like, oh, man. You're like,
wait, what?
Yeah.
I just bought a bar. I want to run a bar. Now I'm worried about getting stabbed.
Yeah, man. I remember, so our second bar, violence was just such a horrible problem, man. Like, it was really, like, depressing isn't the right word, because there's so much adrenaline when you're fighting all the time.
It's funny. You'd think it'd be that way right now, just with, oh, it's like the regular world.
Yeah.
Is so fucked up. You'd assume that would just move forward. Back then, I mean, what were we worried about back in 2002? Life was pretty good.
Life was pretty good, but people, I think, still, like, there wasn't security cameras. There wasn't cell phones.
Yeah.
There wasn't.
Yeah.
So I remember one time taking two guys out in the front of the bar, and we had, like, a corner, like a didn't go like this. It went like this. So you could turn left, you could turn right. So I'm shooting out, and I threw both these guys, like, one opposite over to directions. My left, one to the right. So they're about four paces apart, and they're looking at each other, and they're both looking at me, and everyone's going to decide. And I just remember some sort of sixth sense kicked in. I'm like, this is going to turn bad quick. So I just stepped back and locked, like,
get back inside
the door, right? Yep. Shut the door, locked.
You guys want to go out the
window?
Go at it.
Guy pulls out a switchblade and just knifes the guy right in front of me, man.
What?
Like, 3 seconds after I had the weird sixth sense something was about to go down. So this, like, kid sticks a kid with a knife right in front of me, and that kid runs across Stony Plain Road. He's wearing, like, a white t-shirt. By the time he turns back and looks, there's, like, a gigantic blood stain on his shirt. And I looked back at the guy who'd done the stabbing, and he was just staring at me through the window. And I was like, oh, man, I got a real dangerous job. Why am I doing this with my time? I'm 23. Wow. And, like, I saw shit like that. Like, I had a gun pointed at me.
What?
For sure. Yeah, I had a guy point a gun at me. I had another guy we were throwing out, me and the one doorman, and he's like, the guy we're throwing out's like, I'm going to my trunk to get a gun to fucking kill you guys. And I was like, oh no, why am I doing this? And then that's around the era where that same guy that night was like, I don't know, man, if I was you, just like trolling around the busy clubs in town, you don't know who's in the crowd staring at you that we've thrown out of here the week before. And I was like, but I love going out. That's why I got into the bar biz.
Wow. Yeah, we still see a bunch of that. I mean, people are always do the gun thing. It's usually just the bluff. You know, yeah, okay, whatever you say, do your thing.
But that's a pretty big bluff, man. That shit freaks me out.
We had one a couple of years ago, and they said something along those lines, and then at like 3 o'clock, you looked outside, and they were back. They were on the steps.
What?
And then, so there was we had one of the Elks was in the bar at the time. Massive individual, and comes from somewhere in the US where I'm sure this stuff is relatively normal. I got this. So he went outside and talked to these guys and whatever, came back inside. And by then, we already had called the cops. Next thing you know, they got the big guns drawn on these guys. These guys are down on the pavement. What? They had nothing on them.
What?
But they said they had them.
Yeah.
They said they're coming back. That's what they're going to do, something like that. And we're not taking that chance. Yeah, this is what they said. This is blah, blah, blah. Those boys, they arrived real quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But I won't lie. Nothing has ever ran on to the next day where I'm like, oh, I should be worried about this side of the thing.
That's because you don't own a dive bar in this story. That's a shithole. You own the good bar in town, and you run.
We get our, you know, not as bad of people, but there are some. And this time of year, like playoffs, always going to be a little more dumb.
But you're dealing with like the
and then right after COVID,
like crowds.
Right after COVID was bad.
Weirdos?
Just like 18, 19, 20 year old kids who are like
feral cats because they've been locked in their house.
Yeah, and they don't understand the authority and it is what it is. And then it's like, okay, you guys got to go. A lot of times you kick somebody out, they're like, hey, whatever, it's over. These guys are like, no, they're making a scene. Jesus Christ, is this really what it's going to be like for it? And so that's kind of died down now. And then, yeah, we'll just get like the extra playoff time brings out of, you know, everyone's a little more.
I remember one time, one of the customers, this is the original bar, and I was bartending, and like, we didn't have security staff. We didn't have money for this kind of shit. Talking about, you got five guys working for you.
I got seven,
eight. Trying to be in these trenches. So anyways, this customer comes like, some guy's going crazy in the bathroom. And I was like, let me finish pouring my vodka slime. I'll go in there, right? And I went in, and there's, I don't know, some crazy guy doing crazy shit. And he scooped the urinal gunk out in his hand. And this is when you still ran darts in the bar, so the urinals would have cigarette butts in them and shit like that. And he like held this in his hand and then tried to throw it at me, like this ball of urinal waste. So I like ducked back and he came in. And so there was like the door to get into the bathroom. And then there was like a little vestibule, right? So you open one door, then you'd open another door. And somehow me and this guy, as I'm trying to throw him out, the front door gets shut. And the back door is kind of jimmy behind us, and we're stuck in this vestibule.
Yeah, stuck in. Yeah.
Now I'm fighting this guy in the vestibule whose hands are just covered in like urinal, and there's like water splashing on me. Shit, it's like bang, 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 and you can hear it. And finally, I got the door opened up because I got him out of the way, and like frog marched this guy out of the bar. And friends of mine had come to visit me, and they were like, what are you doing for a living, man? I'm like, oh, you know, just doing happy hour stuff. Like, it was wild, man. But just in those days, like, I swear there was just a different type of person that didn't really, you could go out, fight.
There was no consequence.
Chaos, zero consequence.
Yeah.
Like shoplifting in 2024.
Yeah.
There was no repercussions in those days.
And you can do anything you want in the state of California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. Some of the stuff from the mass, like whatever they're called, I don't even know what they're called right now, but that is crazy stuff.
I get just so angry watching that shit.
Stealing. Oh, like really? The flash mob shit?
Yeah, yeah.
I get so angry watching that stuff.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Like I literally turn. One of my favorites is like it's the Best Buy. I think those guys are trying to steal like phones off, and they're on those cords and shit. And while they're doing that, like six fucking workers. They line up in front. These guys are like squatting down. They're getting into tackle ready positions.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Eats that shit.
Oh yeah, I know you're not supposed to do that. I get it.
Supposed to. Yeah.
I get it. But there's just
every company.
It's a switch.
Their biggest concern is like an employee gets hurt trying to stop a shoplifter, and they sue.
Way more expensive than replacing the fucking eight fucking iPhones that were stolen.
So I learned that not really the hard way because I never had to deal with anything like that of somebody stealing. Well, I have, I guess, but there were these group of kids when I worked at the mall who came in. Like, it must have been their lunch break, whatever. And I was helping somebody on the other side of the store. It was a small store. It was one wall of racks, a couple of racks in the middle, and then another wall of racks. And that was basically the store. And I was on the one side showing somebody like an Oilers jersey. They were trying it on, everything like that, and had a nice little spiel with them. And then my manager was dealing with these six kids, and they were just looking at basketball jerseys and whatever, some hats. And as I finished up with the person who was looking for the Oilers jersey, they left. I'm talking with my manager now, and these kids are still in the store. They're like checking out. I see them like look at themselves in the mirror, and they're wearing a jersey, and they're like looking like how they look.
I feel that. Everything.
And then right after, with as they're wearing the jersey, they walk out of the store. And I'm like, I notice I'm standing next to my manager and he's not really doing anything. So I was like, excuse me, hey, with the jersey. And then my manager's like, no, they came in with the jersey. And I was like, oh, shit. I felt so bad. It's just these group of like kids, high school, junior high kids that are just looking at the store. And
wearing
just
some fresh gear and looking at some more fresh gear. Yeah. Like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah, and then they came back a couple minutes later with a couple more friends.
There's more of them.
And they were looking. And I went back up. I was like, I am so sorry. I didn't realize that you guys came in wearing those jerseys and stuff. And they were cool. They ended up having like really cool basketball jerseys on too. And we started talking about them. But yeah, I felt really bad. But he said, he's like, we don't do that. We like, we'll just call security and let it be.
Yeah. But I always like, I'm at the Safeway or something like that. And you can see this. I can see that shit from a mile away when a security guard's like looking at something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're looking. Oh, that's what you're looking at. All right. And then, yeah, all right, I guess I'll stand here for a fucking minute or two. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do, but I always have to like just stand there. I got your back, bro.
Just that's in case. Sick. That's the G code. That's
so dumb.
Those grocery store bouncers have such a hard life, man.
Oh, I would lose it.
I don't even know like how you try to like, they've got like army boots on now and like fake bulletproof vests.
Yeah, because it's not like authority. You can like stop them from coming in. You have to be like, hey, welcome to Safeway. Come on in.
Right.
Whereas, sure, you know, the bar, obviously, we're like new.
Yes.
So there's not as much. But yeah, they're like, come on in. Fuck, he's definitely going to get something.
Yeah.
I remember one time going to the mall with like a bad friend of mine in junior high. He's like, you want to go to the mall? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And this is when like that. I don't know what you think you're going to do when you're in grade 8 going to the mall. But like, so I go to the mall, this kid, and we're just like rolling around and he's a hood. And I'm not a hood ever growing up, but like, I found it exciting to be around gangsters. All right.
Associate.
Not associate. Like, I didn't do crimes.
No, but you're around.
But we're in public. You're in public places. You're in bars. You're in neighborhoods. And I think gangsters, because I'm so non-threatening, because there isn't a gangster bone in my body, they'd be like, oh, I have a nerd friend, right?
Yeah.
And he's not like us. He's like a square guy. And like, when I talk to him, he doesn't talk to me about crime stuff. He talks to me about normal stuff. And some gangsters, they don't get anything for their identity but being a gangster.
Yep.
Right? So rewind though back to grade 8 where like no one's a gangster, but like the tough kids at school, if they thought I was cool, I was like, yeah. So anyways, this kid's like, you want to go to the mall? I'm like, totally doing it. So we go to the mall, we're rolling around, then he sees an even hooder hood than him.
Yep.
And he's like, you want to walk around? And I'm like, oh yeah. So I'm just like walking around these kids, right? I have no fucking business being here. I don't know what I'm doing. And we go into the dollar store. And we're like, we're going to go in the dollar store. I'm like, yup. And I'm looking at like pinwheels and shit. I don't even know anything in a dollar store. And we're waiting in line. And like one kid's buying something and I'm not buying anything. And all of a sudden mall security's there. And they're like, hey, you three, come with us. And I'm like, well, this is preposterous. I haven't done a thing. So I like go and they just bring us like to this front side of the store or something like that. And they're like, empty your pockets. And I'm like, yeah, no, here you go, motherfucker. I didn't do nothing. And the hood I'm with is like, nothing here. And then the other kid, they pull his pant leg up and he'd stolen giant lighters, but like tucked like 20 of them into both of his socks. So when they go to like somehow get his pant leg up, there's all these lighters. And like, I think I'm with Al Capone at this point and like the rest of his mob, right? And I'm like, I should never have hung out with these bad kids. And then they took us outside and they sat us down and they called our, I don't think my parents got called, but my hood friend, his mom got called and she was not playing around and she came down and you'd have thought we'd shot somebody. Right? Like looking back now, one kid stole giant lighters from the dollar store.
How does the other kid get in trouble?
Association. We all got in shit just for some reason. I don't know if I gave him a fake number or what happened, but they didn't call my parents to come to the mall. They called my friend's parents and his mom came and like cussed him out in front of us and then took both of us home. And I remember being like,
I was really on the wrong side of the law today. This is an important teachable moment for me and myself. You should never go to the mall with lighter thieves. But like in grade 8, this was like the biggest crime
That's huge.
And like early moments like that, that's how I decided not to be a hood in life and not do shady shit. Wasn't because anyone told me, but because I witnessed people who did fucking crazy shit. And I was like, I cannot. That's how I scared myself straight, was like witnessing stuff. Like
I grew up sort of kind of in Clearview to like grade 7. In grade 7, we moved to Sherwood Park. No idea where I'd be if we stayed in Clearview.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Sherwood Park, well, you can't get in trouble out there. I mean, it's just whatever. But Clearview, like, legit, I was deep Clearview. And yeah, I don't know what the, you have no idea where you'd be at this point.
That's crazy. One day you're at the mall and you're just with some tops.
Northside Boy tattoos right here, like way back in the day. Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're in prison for stealing lighters. Terrible times.
That's how the world works.
We are at almost exactly an hour.
There it is.
Look at that.
Oil lost last night in the playoffs.
I said they're going to win in 5, which means they have to lose 1. It's funny, though, because the as much as I said that, I was... It still, right now, is eating me up inside that we lost.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not, like, overly worried about the series, but I'm just pissed off at that loss. And then, it's definitely when it comes to sports, I'm one of those guys, the hard on the sleeve type of guy. But then the whole job thing, like, I can't be angry afterwards, because now I have to, like, put on a smiley face and host a party and shit. And so it kind of forces me to change my fucking mindset. And everyone's
expecting you to be in a bad mood, so you have to hit them with an even not in bad mood.
Well, it's the people that know me. Yeah, they're whatever. But it's like other people come in. I can't just be like an asshole to everybody.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, what's up? And oh, you're the guy from the sign. Yeah, I don't think I'm from the sign. Or something like that. Yeah, so I can't remember. Somebody came up to me yesterday. And, are you the, like, on the mural?
That is correct.
I was like, yes, that's me.
I believe thinking of Harrison Cage. Oh, the other one. Ah, yes, that's me.
On the other mural by the Oilers store.
Yeah, that moss pit looked like it was just lit.
It's awesome.
They have. So I'm curious what happens tomorrow, because they have that tented thing going on now. So I don't know if everyone just goes from here to there.
I think they do both.
How many people got turned away from there last night?
Apparently, I didn't go. I was here because I had pre and post game. But for game 1, before the puck even dropped, they were denying people.
I wonder how many, though, because I was talking to guys yesterday. I'm like, hey, well, I don't know if it's going to bring out new people or if it just shifts people. But I know personally, I don't think we have anybody coming to the bar who's like, well, my first choice was to go there, but we couldn't. So, we'll
it could.
Step I it down it and will. Come into the bar. So, I don't think it'll affect us too much, but I think it'll definitely affect.
Well, so now that place with the tent, so this security guard was spilling the beans to Waz and I guess, but there's this big tent now.
Like, I'll tell you how this all rolled.
Let me
bring it down for you, boy.
Apparently that tent that's there is going to be like a beer tent and just like tons of different types of beers, and that's where you'll go for beers and all that.
But you'll have to stay there. They'll have to have TVs in there because
They have parties in there too.
Yeah, but like it's not like you can grab beer from there and go back to the moss pit.
No,
because you'll have to like walk out in like regular street again.
But there's a viewing area.
Yeah, they'll have to have one in there. Yeah.
They already do. They already have a spot there. They have a big TV set up there, and
they had it going yesterday.
Yeah. Game 1, they had it.
They were getting the tent, and once the tent was set, it was going to go. I didn't know they had to go. They were already rolling.
That was where our intern. Well, he's not really an intern anymore. He got hired, but I'm going to keep calling him.
Good, at least a couple more months.
Yeah, he was there for game 1.
Is interning now? Eli on full time now?
I'm not sure, but I know he's working for us.
Good show.
That's as far is it as the tall I kid?
Know. Yeah,
he's not there.
He's not. No,
there.
Is that the tall kid?
No.
Oh, the one that you've seen on our socials recently.
The BP logo? He was in here yesterday, last week, last Friday when I was here.
No, that is Payden.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's his name?
Payden.
I see.
Yeah.
Good. Says him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that's the name.
Yeah,
might I'm not be a sure. Federal agent. Ooh. Well, it sounds to me like a bit of a fake name, but I'm not. I didn't interview him.
That's fair.
I don't know.
We should definitely look into this.
We should look into him. We should look. Yes.
Before we wrap up, I just want to bring up, because today is a big day. And you know why. Because today...
It's the 15th anniversary of 9/11.
Yes. quick shout out 9/11.
Never forget.
It's my favorite holiday.
Are we talking about... Are you talking Bob?
I'm talking NFL draft.
Oh, draft day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Draft day.
It's today's draft day. So some of your football channels will probably be bumping.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round?
I have, I brought up my trusty little mock draft here.
Please.
Because Aaron and I last night before we did pre-gaming, we sat there and we made our own little mock drafts. I have four quarterbacks going in the first four picks.
Caleb Williams, number one.
You're damn right.
Jaden.
I'm a Bears fan, so.
Jaden, then Drake, then JJ?
No. I have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, JJ, and then I have Drake May. And then.
I think everything I've heard is the Patriots want Drake.
I know. But I feel like JJ McCarthy's more of like. The Patriots are one of those, especially being in Boston, you just got to have one of them, like...
Watch Harbaugh. Players. Watch Harbaugh move JJ to... Or, like, move Herbert to Minnesota, move up, and go get his boy JJ, because, they were just that together last year.
Yeah, that would be an insane... Well,
and he was saying this is the best quarterback in the draft. Or, like, his pro day was the best pro day he's ever seen.
I have... Penix going to the Vikings and without a move, and Bo Nix going directly after for the Broncos. So, total is six quarterbacks.
When did the Broncos pick?
13, 12.
12. Oh, boy. I would love that. Six quarterbacks and 12 picks.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then my first defensive player isn't until 9, which is where the Bears are picking.
So, I jumped on the whole 365 had. Bo going in the first round at plus 180.
Yep.
And then, so I looked today, I'm just going to look right now. So I've got him at plus 180. He was down as much as plus 100 this morning.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I would like to see if he goes by 12, he fucking super simple.
Yeah. So how much do you know about Caleb Williams?
Interestingly, I have an opinion.
Yeah.
So,
minus 130 now.
I've read all his quotes. So I've read how transformational he thinks he is.
Yeah.
But then I read a bunch of shit, and again, I'm new to football, that's like, this is the new Russell Wilson, people. Be very, very careful. He kind of looks like a generational quarterback, but he might be like one turn of the screw off, where he still gets big ticket deals. He still looks very much the part, but I know that he's saying he wants to play his whole career in one place and win 8 Super Bowls more than Tom Brady. Like, what are you doing, dude?
If you're going to go first,
your boy?
I'm a Chicago Bears
fan. If you're going to go first, you have to say, hey, listen.
Do you, or are you just putting an enormous target in your back to go to the Bears, say, I'm going to play here my whole life and win more than Tom Brady? Like, Jesus fuck.
I think it just shows, I mean, maybe it shows too much, but I think it shows confidence. And like, I want to be the best.
Yeah.
I'll quote Alexander Daigh. No one remembers who gets number two unless it's Chris Pronger and you're Alexander Daigh. But then I watched the documentary about him on Amazon. He still has all of his money, and it's rumored he slept with Pamela Anderson.
What?
So I would argue he won over Chris Pronger.
He's a really nice guy.
Have you met him?
I haven't met him, but I covered for Coming in Hot recently, a couple of weeks ago or last week or something. And he was the guest, and man, was it one of the funniest things I've watched. He's really down to earth. He's very obviously aware of
everything. Down to earth.
Forced down to earth.
Yeah, I think he probably was humbled by the world.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then landed on his feet.
Yeah,
and said, "Okay, you know what? This is better this way. Let's make the most of it."
Have you watched that Amazon documentary about him? Yeah. Isn't it interesting how he said that he went? Have you seen it?
I haven't yet. No.
Okay, it's worth watching. Like, his dad's embarrassed about him, you can tell.
Yep.
But yet, like, Alexander Daigh has had an insanely good career by all standards.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Just to get to the NHL, just to play. He came back. He still did it great. Yep. Like, unless you're in the Hall of Fame on the Mount Rushmore of the NHL, your dad thinks you're a loser. Like, what a horrible life.
I think that's hockey in Canada.
Football in the States. I'm sure Johnny Hockey's dad thinks he's a, or Johnny Manziel's dad thinks he's a putz, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a documentary on him, too.
Yeah.
Johnny Football,
it was really good.
Yeah, his.
I wish it was better.
He went off the rails.
But yeah. Daigh saying, I wish I could have gone and played in Switzerland my entire career. That's like the conclusion he came to at the end of his career.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a lot of NHL players that would I don't know if they're going to admit it out in front of a camera like that, but they'd probably much rather do that.
It was funny you mentioned that, because that was something they actually talked about on the show. And him and Jason York were talking about playing in Switzerland. And I guess I'm not sure if Yorkie had some sort of influence on him going to play in Switzerland, but Yorkie said, like, that was the best place I ever played. Interesting. Switzerland, yeah.
Any guy I know who's like a fringe NHLer or more of an AHLer, once he gets like 26, dude, get the hell over to Europe.
Yeah,
like, get off the buses. Get out of that league.
I knew a buddy who played in Austria and Germany and I think Italy as well. And like, he's making hundreds of thousands of euros every year. Yeah. Tax free. Yeah. 14 years over there, assembled a fortune.
Davey should be in the finals right now in his league.
Is he with Lugano?
Oh, Rogel.
Yeah. My buddy is, he just finished up at the U of A this year. He's taking his tests, actually. But he's thinking of going to the Dell 2 in Germany.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's not like back in the day where, I don't know, I guess I was more my thing, but I'm like, aw, you're in Europe, you're a bum. Yep. You should go play in the AHL and ride around on a bus for $6,000 a year and eat Subway exclusively.
But yeah, because you feel like it's so
close. One call up to winning the cup. That's how my mentality.
100%. Yeah, and then you get a little older and you start to see what that life is like. And it's like, holy shit.
Well, now as like a fully formed adult, I look at this and I'm like, man, if you can get paid and have a longer career with less wear and tear in your body,
yep,
gives a fuck about trying to get into the NHL.
And mental.
Yeah.
Your mental health is much better over there.
Yeah.
My cousin.
Oh, for sure. It's less stress. It's less everything.
Yeah.
And living out there would be awesome.
My cousin has been the captain for the Dundee Stars for the last 3 years.
What's that?
It is in
Australia?
In the EIHL. So the elite.
The Tony Handley?
England. Yes. Yep. Yep. The English League British League or
Dundee Crocodile Brexit Dundee. League.
Yeah.
Does he love it?
He loves it. Yeah. He found his wife down there. Like they got married.
Where is it?
Dundee, Scotland.
Scotland.
He's in Scotland. So
that's not where Theo played, is it? Because he played a year or two in Scotland, I think.
Maybe.
Or Great Britain or something like that. Yeah, no, I don't think so either. That name didn't stand out.
It was funny because I'm good. One of my best friends is Brendan Escott, who works for 630 Chet. And one of his buddies, I'm kind of mutual friends, I guess, with him. But he posted a photo the other day of his season. And he's, I don't know, holding a cup or something. And it was the Dundee Stars. He played on the same team as my buddy. So I like text him. I was like, hey, like, did Kyle play for the Dundee Stars this year? He's like, yeah, he's on his way back and he's on his way home and he's on his way back to go play in 3 months for the same team next year.
Cool.
Because again, like, apparently they love it. Like, it's unreal.
I would honestly say to somebody like that, like, do it, man. Just, there's going to be plenty of time post playing career to be an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a place with an ice resurfacing machine willing to pay you. I knew a kid who played pro in France.
Wow.
In like Div 2 French hockey. At the time, we were like, you bum ass bum. Now I look at him like, that's the exact right move.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
100%, man.
Why go get a job in an accounting firm? There's plenty of that time for that available.
Yeah.
Go play Div 2, see if there's a single puck bunny alive, and say, yeah, girl, I'm number 6.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, man.
I know Cristobal Houet.
Yeah. Hey. Ooh, legend.
Nice name drop.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right.
Oh, well. No. Johan Oivitu.
Oivitu, yeah.
Is he French? He's a former Oiler.
Yeah, he is. I met him once at the Stollery Children's
Hospital. Did you?
Yeah, they were doing their little children's hospital thing, and I was in school, and we got a press release saying that they were there. So I was actually home from school that day. Get a call.
Sus, but okay.
Yeah. I get a call, and they're like, hey, the Oilers are going to be at the University Hospital doing their Stollery Children's thing. We need a camera out there. And so me and our reporter went out there, and I shot all the stuff of them. Like, I was 2 feet away from Connor as he's signing autographs and all the players. It was really cool.
But that's sick. We can close this too. You know who, talking about don't force an NHL career, you know who's thriving is Nail. He is, man. Like, he's in Paris right now. Yeah. Today he's taking photos on his Insta. He's at the Eiffel Tower and shit. He's making $3 million a year in the K.
That's perfect.
No one's calling him a bust. No one's calling him a failure. Yep. He's at the Eiffel Tower. He's dripped out. He's got fancy clothes on. He's got cool John Lennon glasses. Yep. Like, I hope, I feel like he escaped a very bad situation. Yep. And he won't be like Alexander Dagging himself in 20 years for being a number one pick overall. Because I think he's had a good career in the K. I mean, they won the championship. He wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL will always be a part of his storyline. Even like to him, I'm sure when he tells his story, it's not just going to be the K. It'll be,
he's not like riddled with doubt. He's in front of the Eiffel Tower living his best life.
Yeah, he's accepted thriving. It, moved on, and and loving what he's at. Yes. Perfect. That's awesome.
We can all learn from Nail Yakupov.
Bring him back.
100%.
Should bring him back. He could be, that's my favorite thing to say on social is occasionally, I think they're in the joke when they reply. I hope they don't think it's real. But when I'm like, bring Nail back at a PTO, sometimes people are like, he'd look great on the fourth line with goddamn Evander Kane. Like, yeah, you know he would. He's got that shooter mentality.
I love it. Get him back here.
They should bring Yak back. Put him, raise his number. What would happen?
64 and 10.
If the two banners next to Garth Brooks, one on either side. If the big long con we can play on Oilers fans is to remember Nail Yakupov fondly, I think that's a great joke to have going. Like, you'd think Oilers fans, given their toxic attitude, would hate Nail Yakupov. Instead, they still sell jerseys in the Oilers store.
He's forced that out of them.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't hate me this much.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me. Now. This is me in the Eiffel Tower.
That's right. He's living his best life. Bless your heart, Nail, wherever you are. I hope you're listening.
You're listening to Wanye's World, presented by Oodle Noodle.